welcome back to No Downtime, a podcast from Fort Rock Data Center located in beautiful Central Oregon. I'm your host, Connor Williams, and I'm joined again by Levi Mansell. He's our Director of Sales and Business Development at Fort Rock. In this episode, we're going to talk about how Fort Rock's low latency infrastructure enables reliable edge computing and then everything that goes into that. So, Levi, how's it going?
Hey, mahalo nui loa.
Levi just got back from a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
He's in a very relaxed mood.
I'm very relaxed.
Looking tan.
Yeah. I didn't use any sunscreen. I didn't burn either. So.
Smart move. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll use my regular voice. No, thanks for having me back on the podcast. I have to admit, Jason has some mad editing skills with all the outtakes from the first one, so it sounded pretty professional, actually.
Got to have a good time, too,
props
right?
There. Yeah.
So, all right. We talk a lot about Fort Rock being a purpose-built facility. Can you kind of highlight what that actually means?
Yeah, it was built with purpose.
Nice.
Fort Rock was actually designed from the ground up with not only like the performance of, you know, being energy efficient, but also resiliency in mind. So it's not a retrofitted warehouse.
Right.
We won't name some of those data centers out there. It's also not one of those, you know, massive behemoths that's going to use, you know, half of the state's power either. So, but overall, I mean, in general terms, the layout of the facility, the way that it's been set up for redundant power, along with future expansion, efficient cooling, and then, of course, fiber connectivity from multiple locations, different sides of mm-hmm. I won't go into too much detail there, but, you know, all that was built with maintaining low latency, mm-hmm. uptime in mind, and continuous productivity. There's a good one for you to edit there, Jason. No, the layout is purpose-built. All the way from electrical, being able to expand that, highly efficient cooling, as well as all the fiber connectivity with redundancy built in mm-hmm. to ensure low latency and also make sure all the data center clients that are there benefit from impeccable uptime.
Sure. So the data center's got a purpose-built infrastructure, efficient cooling, good use of efficient power, all that to provide, you know, redundant service and reliable uptime. So, you know, what were to happen, for example, if one of the providers has an outage? What happens to customer traffic and how is that kind of managed?
Funny that you should mention that because today, am I allowed to talk about Microsoft? Am I going to get sued? I'm just going to go there. So there was some large network provider out there, okay, that provides, you know, tons of services under the sun. They'll remain nameless, Microsoft. But they're having issues today. And when you think of, like, who out there is reliable, you know, rock solid, people are like, AWS, Microsoft. Well, in the last 30 days, just those two have had issues. So mm-hmm. not to mention many others. So, I mean, nobody's perfect. You're never going to achieve, you know, 100% connectivity 100% of the time. But we all try. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you can do that is to move off of just cloud or focused on large data centers and only core key components, high density areas of the country, and start moving to the edge. Distance equals time. So the shorter you are to that endpoint, the quicker things are going to go. And if you have lots of edge compute out there, that's going to help out tremendously.
Yeah. So with that in mind, can you touch a little bit on, you know, how Fort Rock's specific setup really helps make this happen? You know, we've got a dozen or so carrier options at the data center. We've got diverse fiber paths leading into and out of the data center as well. So can you kind of touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to connectivity, that's a key component. Without connectivity, you have, you might as well be on the moon, right? doing whatever you're doing. So from a connectivity standpoint, we've kind of positioned ourselves closer to like being a carrier hotel for Central Oregon. Now, we're not like a primary tier one market like LA, Bay Area, Seattle, et cetera, right? But we do have lots of options for fairly diverse and redundant fiber connectivity. So we have now 13 carrier and connectivity options located at Fort Rock Data Center. And that's a great way of avoiding a single point of failure. If you have diverse routes and you have low latency routes to those other large carriers and other data centers, your network's going to be not only performing well, but you're going to have the reliability and uptime that's necessary. And as we see more and more connected devices, in the home, in the workplace, but also in manufacturing. And I mean, just look at like automobiles, like cars. I read something last week that said that modern cars have over 50 CPUs in each car. And you remember like the chip shortage that we heard about, you know, a couple of years ago. That kind of hits home when you start thinking about, okay, well, if it's got that much compute in a vehicle, it's got to communicate somewhere for something, right? And as you know, when it comes to analysis of performance and the rest of that, I have an app on my phone that I can actually check my miles per gallon, you know, a lot of feet, like the air sensors on my tires. It'll show me the current status there. You know, there's a lot of different things that are connected, and it also will prompt me, do you want to update your firmware at 1 a.m., you know, type of thing. I'm, firmware for what, you know, but 50 plus CPUs in every vehicle, that's kind of crazy. So you think about endpoints or edge devices, your phone's an edge device, your laptop, your car, etc. So when you're trying to communicate to just Texas or Virginia, you know, it's going to take a while. There's a lot of connections. And as that data traverses multiple carriers, you introduce more opportunities for latency and packet loss to occur. So edge, smaller edge data centers are, I think, gaining popularity. And we're going to see more of those pop up in the future, as opposed to, you know, 100 million square foot buildings, you know, sucking up everybody's power, water, et cetera. So small energy efficient modular, even data centers, I think, are kind of the wave of the future. But I don't think a lot of people are talking about it right now, but it should be on our radar, just like AI.
Right.
Do I have to put a quarter in the jar now? So, yeah,
dollar.
It's a dollar now? Inflation. No, AI, you hear it everywhere. You can't, like, you know, open a web page without something raving about AI at a 10,000-foot view. And you're like, what does it mean? You know, how is it applied to my life? Well, it's everywhere. Okay. But as we do see, you know, machine learning and analytics, I think, you know, from a standpoint, you know, again, hopping over a car just because that's easy. Performance analytics, it helps identify efficiencies or malfeasances, you know, issues with your vehicle, which, you know, leads to safety, et cetera. But all that data's got to go somewhere. And as you have lots of data traversing a long distance, it's not going to be as efficient as having a small edge, you know, server located close to those endpoints or those edge devices.
Right. So speaking of what does it mean and why should I care, for listeners or, you know, small business owners and other people in their IT roles that are maybe looking to diversify or to, like you've said in the past, get out of your local data closet. How do these things translate into real business value? What does it mean, and how does lower latency and those redundant connections really make a difference?
Well, if you think of manufacturing, if you're able to automate a process, let's say with like a CNC machine, and you're machining parts for fill in the blank, right? You know, running 2,000 parts, and something that used to be manually loaded is now being done by a robot. And now there are sensors and cameras that can real-time monitor the tooling process. I'm just thinking of manufacturing in general. You have the ability to be able to more efficiently, especially if you're short distance for where that software is running, that's you know, handling those processes. If you're at a edge computing data center nearby where your manufacturing facility is, in real time with very high precision, you could shut down a machine before you have a failure. So that's saving companies real money in real time, but also cutting down on expenditures and also making their employee labor, which is, you know, the largest overhead for pretty much every business out there, making sure that they're using that labor in an efficient, effective way, as opposed to babysitting a machine that's running on its own 99% of the time just fine, and that 1% can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars when you have a, you know, failure. So when you think about latency, redundant connections, you know, bulletproof connectivity, that not only touches upon disaster recovery, but it also touches upon business continuity, you know, making sure that your business is humming along like a well-oiled machine. So from a commerce and industrial standpoint, it's vital, especially as we progress into, you know, more robotics and more AI, another quarter in the, or dollar in the jar. But you know, it also reminds me of other real life applications that somebody who's not in manufacturing could appreciate. So I have a really embarrassing personal story that I'm going to share, and you can edit this out later, Jason, if you want, but
it stays
maybe. So, all I can say is darn kids these days, you know, my daughter's a senior in high school. My son's a sophomore. And they were leaving school early. This week it's finals week, right? And so my daughter had her cell phone set with GPS to their destination. And for whatever reason, GPS stopped working, right? And the Maps app or Waze, I don't know what she uses.
I love that.
But it crashed, you know? So my son, you know, picked up his phone. He sits in the back like he's like being chauffeured by an Uber driver, right? You know, like she's the personal Lyft. It's kind of funny. But he's in the back, and so he's like, okay, let me plug it in. And he uses, you know, Maps to pull up the destination, the business that they're going to. And they accidentally get a location that's down towards Salem instead of up towards Oregon City. So they start driving. They're like 20 minutes deep into driving down 213 towards the outskirts of Salem, and they realize they're near Mount Angel. And my daughter's like, hey, this isn't right. We should have been there by now. And so he's trying to relay, you know, the next turn and that kind of thing. So they pull over, realize they have the wrong address, get the right address plugged in, turn around the opposite direction. And I have a dash cam on the front and the back of the vehicle. And so I'm hearing about this after the fact, and my son's like, you need to look at the dash cam video, because my sister took that turn really fast, and I don't think it was very safe. I think she should be talked to. I was like, okay, buddy.
Wow.
So I go through and I review the footage afterwards, right? And he's trying to relay, you know, where she's supposed to turn. He's like, okay, in 0.7 miles, you'll turn on the road. And then she's like, okay, 0.7 miles. And then she's like, okay, so do I turn right or left? He's like, yeah, it's left. And she's like, okay. And then she goes, how long is it now? And then he goes, I don't know. It says the same thing. Oh, wait, no, it says 0.4, right? And then, and she's like, okay, so what's the name of the road? And he goes, I don't know. Let me look. So as he's looking at it, she goes, is it this road? And she, you know, names off the road she's just seen the sign for. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, I think it's, oh yeah, that's it. And so of course she's like, turns, you know, quickly. And luckily nobody was behind her or in front of her, but she did take the corner a little hard, but you know, nothing too dangerous. But anyways, it was one of those things where I was thinking, like, you know, these kids these days, they rely so much on GPS as opposed to like reading a paper map, like when I grew up, right? I'm dating myself. Anyway, when it comes to real-time communication, if you're in an area where you have poor cellular communication, right, you know, cell data, that affects, you know, real-time, I mean, even safety, right, when you get down to it. If somebody's dinking around with their phone while they're driving, that's not safe, right? But that information needs to be relayed. And when you have a poor cell connection or, you know, GPS sometimes just goes dark and you're like, okay, I'm supposed to continue for 40 miles and hasn't updated for 20 minutes, you know? So in terms of edge computing, as we see more edge compute being put into place, more carriers and, you know, cell, wireless, et cetera, adopting that. But there's also, you know, other forms of communication. Mm-hmm. We're going to see that, you know, when it comes to self-driving cars, for instance, instead of just being in one city where they've piloted that, it'll become a reality where you could be out in the middle of the Nevada desert, Eastern Oregon, driving along the coast, whatever the case may be, in a less populated area where normally prior you had zero connectivity. Now you have, you know, real-time data and analytics flowing back and forth, again, like a well-oiled machine. So, you know, a lot of people talk about the cloud, but if you have a single cloud, there's going to be some pollution getting to and from that cloud, right? But when it comes to cloud all around you, whether it's close or far, if you have multiple connectivity points, you're going to benefit from that. So,
yeah, you made me reminisce about the days of printing out my MapQuest directions and trying to find my way downtown Portland.
I miss that logo, the bright yellow and red,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
MapQuest.
you really knew you made it if you could print it out in color versus black and white, you know. Nice. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's very poignant indeed. So kind of with that infrastructure setup in mind, you know, we talked about redundancy, the importance of carrier diversity, avoiding single points of failure, and how all these things impact milliseconds and why that's important for businesses. So how does this position potential customers for access to some of these, you know, tier one, tier two markets, not just along the West Coast, throughout the United States, and even global opportunities for setups like Fort Rock?
Sure. I mean, we have a wide variety of clients that we serve, and each client has different needs, you know, different goals, different solutions that they're trying to put into place. But when you think about milliseconds, okay, mattering, there's what I would call a low importance, like let's say the Super Bowl, you know, everybody wants to stream the Super Bowl and see, you know, I mean, in the, you know, if it's delayed 7 seconds, is it really going to ruin your life? No, right. Not so much. But real-time analytics, when it comes to like financial transactions, like seconds or even milliseconds can mean big money. Mm-hmm. So if you think about like somebody driving, you know, 60 miles an hour, they see a toll booth up ahead, they drive right through the toll booth gate, smash it, okay? Then they slam on their brakes 100 yards down the road, open their window and throw out $1.50 in change. Yeah, the timing's off. And the problem with that is there's some costs and penalties associated with that. Yeah. In the same way, edge computing is going to keep processing closer to all of those endpoints, all of those edge devices, and that's going to benefit the end users as opposed to traversing long paths out to a few select cloud locations across the US. More specifically, if you want to talk about like when minutes matter or seconds matter or whatever, not just talking about, you know, emergency communications, but just think about someone who is brought into an emergency room, okay? They have a CAT scan done or like a 3D rendering done, and that needs to be processed. And that data needs to go to a server location for those images to be processed, analyzed, and turned. If you have a latency, packet loss, a long distance with a limited, you know, pipe, that bandwidth that you're limited to, can cause something to take hours to be processed as opposed to a minute. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's life is on the line, they're in an emergency room, and doctors, surgeons need to analyze that quickly, they're not going to keep millions of dollars of equipment and analytic servers on-prem. It just doesn't work that way. You know, it's one way that the companies that provide those can set up additional data centers to provide a more robust service, more reliable, for those, in this instance, you know, arbitrary example of an emergency room in a hospital. Mm-hmm. So, you know, proximity to West Coast locations versus East Coast or, you know, Midwest, whatever. You see companies in the past where they would divide, you know, okay, we have a data center in Texas, we'll put one in LA, you mm-hmm. know, or hey, we've got one in Seattle, let's look at Virginia. Now you can look at multiple locations that are more affordable because the overall footprint that we're using is a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. We're more energy efficient. We have lots of connectivity. And as you have more and more connectivity, those rates become much more competitive. Mm-hmm. So you have, I don't want to say cheap, but affordable connectivity and reliable uptime. That makes things a lot more interesting in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for your expertise and your storytelling. definitely good stuff. Well, that's going to do it for us today, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this episode, consider giving us a like and a subscribe. We're working on getting the show uploaded to the major podcast platforms, and we'll also be putting it up on our YouTube channel as well if you want to check us out there. So for Levi Mansell, I'm Connor Williams, and we'll catch you next time here on No Downtime. Fort Rock Data Center is a purpose-built facility strategically located in the high desert of Bend in Central Oregon. We offer reliable business continuity and edge computing solutions that meet SOC 2 Type 1 compliance in a low-risk environment east of the Cascade Mountain Range. Learn more at fortrockdc.com. Background music by Maxim Malko from Pixabay. was just going to put that up on YouTube.
Can we do some like AI with like a cat morphing into a unicorn, like flying across the screen just as...
Wow. Try and game the algorithm.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about Al Gore's rhythm, right? Do all the things for Al Gore's rhythm, right? You know, hit the like
button. There's no way you just made that up. Hit the...